Thank you for listening to the IFE Market Podcast. I'm your host, Sky Cassidy, and we've got Carla Jo Helms, our co-host, here with us today.
Hi, guys.
And also with us is Laura Hall. She'll be talking with us about content delivery and content marketing. Laura is the Senior Manager of Marketing Communications and Content at SalesLoft. She spent the first half of her career in sales before moving into sales effectiveness, consulting, and finally marketing strategy. A lot of people coming from sales into marketing. I love it. Laura holds an MBA from the Georgia Institute of Technology and a retiree jacket from Atlanta's Roller Derby League. Obviously, we're going to need to know more about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Laura, we're really happy to have you on today to talk about content marketing, content delivery. What can you tell us about Roller Derby, though?
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here. Roller Derby is not staged, I would like for everybody to know. I skated for 2 years until I broke my jaw and I couldn't fly out to a client meeting. My boss at the time suggested that maybe I find something a little less masochistic for a hobby.
As a hobby.
What is roller derby?
What is roller derby?
Yes.
Okay. Uh-oh. So if you've ever seen the movie Whip It, it does a really good job explaining it. And some of Atlanta's roller girls were actually stunt doubles in that movie, but, It's basically kind of like football, but on skates, and a person called the jammer is actually the ball.
Yeah, it's like football and WWF on roller skates, right?
Right, right. But everybody gets a fun name, so that's good.
What's your name?
My name was Layla Beatdown.
Layla Beatdown. Right,
which is funny because I'm 5'2".
It doesn't rhyme either. I thought the names had to rhyme.
It was just kind of like a play on words, like Lay the Beat Down, and my favorite song is
Layla. Oh, I get it.
So, you know.
Okay, I'm impressed. That's fun.
Thanks. It actually was the connector that got me to my current job. Funny
enough. No way.
Many years later, my former teammate brought me in at SalesLoft. It's weird. We have three former roller girls employed here.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So is it like being in the army, like the people on your roller derby team, you're kind of, you know, a band of brothers type of a thing,
right?
Band of sisters, where you always have that bond.
That's true. It's true. Army, gang, you know, whatever you want to call it.
The roller derby gang.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a great sport, though. It's fantastic. If anybody listening has never been to a bout, is what they're called, go to one. I'm sure there's one in every major city in America at this point.
Yeah, I went. I have a niece that was in roller derby for a while, and I went to one, and it was fascinating.
What was your name?
I'd only seen it like in the movies, stuff like that. Oh boy, I don't know what a roller derby name was. It was years ago, and I have a terrible memory. Yeah, I was just fascinated. I'd never been exposed, you know, other than a movie about roller derby or something like that. To see what it's really like versus the movies was, you know, was really fascinating.
It's pretty brutal, but it's incredibly amazing, and you really do have a band of brothers for life, or sisters, I guess.
All right. Well, if you just joined in on the podcast, this episode's about roller derby. Now we'll be talking about content, but getting through the roller derby part, that's awesome. I want to see a photo for the podcast if you have one.
All right.
Moving on from that, another off-topic subject here. Noticed on your LinkedIn, it says you're a teller of uncle jokes.
I am. I'm continually in trouble with my coworker, Sunshine, who collects dad jokes.
Are you guys like in a rivalry where she says dad jokes are better and you say uncle jokes? Or?
No, they're just that we put them out on social and in our newsletter, and she crowdsources the jokes, and so the ones that I submit always get shot down because she says that they are, in fact, uncle jokes and not dad jokes.
What is an uncle joke? It's just uses an uncle instead of a dad?
Yeah, you know, like your creepy uncle. It's just a little off color, you know?
It's an inappropriate dad. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's with it's uncle jokes, dad jokes, no aunt and mom jokes? Come on.
Yeah, you know, I tried the yo mama path. That didn't work.
Yeah, I guess it's time. We've had the yo mama and all that kind of stuff. It's time for the uncles and dads to step in front of the fire.
Right, right.
So can you give us one?
Sure, but you might have to bleep it.
Yeah, we can bleep or not. This is an explicit podcast.
We were talking about Harry Potter at work today, so I'll give you something thematic. What do you call a wizard who marries outside the magical community?
No idea.
A muggle fucker.
Okay. I was worried because I'm not a huge Harry Potter fan. I hope I don't get hate mail for that. But that I wouldn't get the joke at all. But I have heard that word. So
I actually read all the books and there's nothing wrong with
that
joke. Thank you. Nothing wrong with it.
It should go in the newsletter.
Well, we will not bleep that out. We here at the podcast market the shit out of it. So we can swear all we want. No FCC around. Okay. So moving on from uncle jokes, roller derby, eventually we'll talk about some marketing. Right. Let's get into that now. Or actually, you know what? Let's get into a little bit more into you and what you do there at Sales Loft. What's your day-to-day like? And can you tell us a little bit also about, you know, what Sales Loft does?
Sure. Starting out with Sales Loft will help it make a little more sense. We are a sales engagement platform. So officially, our mission is to activate the authentic seller in all of us. So we automate certain sales activities or schedule activities, making it easier for salespeople to spend more time personalizing their communications and their efforts with prospecting and with current customers.
And how are you different than other softwares as a service on the market? What is your differentiation?
Well, sales engagement is kind of a new space. We actually just got our own quadrant in G2, the crowd review site. Sales Loft is leading, so we don't actually have a ton of competitors. You know, there's a handful, and there are a couple we've gone back and forth with, but we're really, I think what sets Sales Loft apart and what draws me to this company is the mission to completely redefine the sales industry. You know, you think about that Glengarry Glen Ross stereotype, always be closing. You really don't care how you get to the yes, as long as you get to the yes, right? Well, this is a different approach, right? It's trying to make that whole buying, selling experience better and mutually beneficial and becoming a true consultant and a business partner long-term.
Makes a lot of sense. I mean, the sales paradigm is changing for that very reason. You have consumers that are really more part of the sales process. Instead of being told what to do, they want to be included and consulted.
And also, I think with any luck, when people think about sales, I hate it. They think about movies like Glengarry Glen Ross. I've said it many times on this podcast. All the movies people know about sales are about con men, not about sales. Right. Because that's fun to put in movies, Hollywood gives the sales industry a bad name. People think they should be afraid of salespeople. Salespeople are, you know, a good salesperson will sell you something you don't want to buy. No, that's not a good salesperson. I feel like if you're going to watch Glengarry Glen Ross, you should have to listen to a Zig Ziglar book or something like that on what sales really is. You know, the part of, and I know this podcast is not about sales, but as long as we bring it up, I just hate that stereotype of salespeople. Even used car salesmen don't have to be bad. It's just, there's no fun in making a movie about a used car salesman that helps people get the car they need at a reasonable price.
Right.
You know, that movie, that script gets rejected pretty quick. It's got to have some flash in it. It's got to have the con man. That's a lot more fun. So, you know, the archetype of a salesperson that's there to help you get what you need is kind of something that nobody recognizes. And I see companies like Sales Loft coming in and it feels like kind of enabling salespeople to focus on that part of their job more.
Right. And with all the options consumers have today, I mean, you have to really engage with them on their own terms, right? You have to listen and understand and work across teams and figure out how to deliver a solution that is actually right for them and will work for them. And you know what? Guess what? If you don't, then they can go elsewhere. There are tons of competitors out there in every channel. Yeah. So,
and in case it sounded like an infomercial there, that was off the cuff. I don't use Sales Loft. I do very little sales myself in my job. I just, you know, have worked in sales quite a bit, and that always bothers me you know, that archetype of salespeople. And I love what companies like Sales Loft are doing with sales today to try to, you know, make it an experience that doesn't suck for everyone.
Right. That's going to be a new tagline, sales that doesn't suck.
Yes.
Funny you mentioned that sales and marketing, you know, this is a marketing podcast and not sales, but I think there's a lot of overlap there. And the stereotype kind of applies to marketing as well, right? We hear about authenticity and sales, but marketing also has to take that approach, right? You have to create content that aligns with your overall message and your mission and helps your target audience, your readers, accomplish their goals because you're really there to help them achieve something that they want or they need.
I couldn't agree with you more. I really think sales is part of marketing. it's part of the intelligent promotion cycle. It's a life cycle. I mean, if you sequester off sales from marketing and from PR, you're missing a huge benefit for the customer.
So true.
And for the company.
And I think people are already afraid of salespeople. The real danger is if they start getting afraid of marketing and seeing it kind of as the tip of the con spear. Mm-hmm. If sales is the con, then marketing is kind of front loading the con funnel. Right. And that's really dangerous. Marketing really needs to make sure that we protect our reputation as kind of honest, honest distributors of information in the process, and help sales, get rid of that con. There needs to be a, some type of super PAC that works with Hollywood to stop all these movies about con people making it sales.
We should make one. That might be our multi-million-dollar idea.
Just going to go to Washington and have a bunch of lobbyists.
I mean, I don't really want to go to Washington right now, though.
Sales industry lobbyists and Hollywood. I guess we got to lobby Hollywood to have consultants in their movies for sales. No, I'm sorry. You can't have a sales guy do that. That's a,
right.
That's a bad impression.
Right.
Okay. So what's your day-to-day there at Sales Loft?
My day-to-day is a tornado. I've tried to be more organized because we do so many different things here. But honestly, I mean, you never know what is going to come up. But I am responsible for pretty much anything customer facing or outward facing. So I manage our blog. I manage we're starting up a podcast, our influencer program. We're actually relaunching or redesigning our website. The new website will be up March 8th. And I was the kind of final comb through all of the messaging for that.
So I've got a new title for you. You could be the marketing tornado wrangler. It could be your name in roller derby. If you make a roller derby comeback, you could be Tornado Wrangler.
Well, our two product marketers are named Sunshine and Snow, so I kind of need a weather to fit in.
I would fit right in with them.
You would, Sky. You would.
You would. It's perfect. Come to the dark side.
Sorry, Laura, I cut you off on your day-to-day. Besides wrangling tornadoes, you're overseeing kind of all the different marketing, I hate to call them silos, but departments, functions.
Right. I kind of have a hand in everything. I help out managing PR. I would classify it as voice and tone, right? I get to be, we have the brand police, but we also have the voice and tone police. And so I get to do that part.
Nice. It keeps you engaged, keeps you interested. You're not doing the same thing every day, all day. That's always good.
Never. It's always an adventure, which I love.
Awesome. So jumping in now to, unless there's anything else you want to add, to kind of Sales Loft and what you do there, let's get over to the content part.
Sure.
Content marketing, content delivery specifically. Can you give us a general overview? Pretend we've got listeners here who have a startup and they have no idea what content marketing even is, maybe. Real general overview on content marketing for us.
Right. Well, I think content marketing is the most important part of marketing. I'm not biased, but it's at the center of the connection you have between your brand and your customer or your prospects. So it's either going to open their head and their heart to pay attention to what you're saying and care that your company, your brand, your product exists, or it won't. It's kind of like that cliche. Now I'll do like a dad cliche. You never get a second chance to make a good first impression. It's generally the first thing people see from your company. So I like being on that forefront and being able to influence in that way.
I like to say, and this might fit for content marketing also, the only purpose of a first impression is to get you a second impression.
So true. Yeah.
After that. So with content, it's not... going back, I think before the show we were talking, I made a post this morning about this episode, us recording it today, and we put a Marketing Marvin up on it. That's a cartoon we do about the world's worst marketer. And he was saying, his content strategy is to always be closing. I think it was something like that. And it's kind of the opposite. Obviously, that's how he rolls. He does the opposite of what you should be doing. That first piece of content is really just to get them to see the second. And it's very top of the funnel type stuff. So what type of content can people be doing? Somebody, again, not a marketer, but needs to market for their startup or whatnot. I imagine it's everything from a basic social post up through to full-on Super Bowl commercial or something.
Right, right. Hopefully not that expensive if you're a startup. But the biggest thing for me that I try to drive home, especially when we have contributors to content, is that you want to be adding value. It should be thought leadership. and not a sales pitch, right? If your first impression is somebody doing this always be closing activity, then it's going to turn people off.
Right.
So you really have to make a concerted effort to add value to people and have a plan for it, right? You can't think, oh, okay, I'm going to throw a bunch of stuff at social and people are just going to all of a sudden come knocking at my door. That's not right. It's not like throwing spaghetti on a wall or whatever. You have to have a plan before you launch something. So yes, social media is great, but it's not the only place to be. It's not the magic bullet, which I feel like a lot of people have treated it as such.
We've got another marketing Marvin I'll have to put up about going viral, where he makes a video so that he can go viral and sit back and watch the money roll in.
Right, right.
And that's what people think, like, I got a good idea. I'm going to put it on social media and it's going to go nuts.
Oh my God. It drives me insane. And you know what? The videos on LinkedIn, they just make me want to shoot myself sometimes watching them. I mean,
please tell me you're talking about the videos where people do the shot of their face just talking about how awesome they are. Because I hate those. I've talked about it before. Those are the thing I hate. And while we were on the podcast, I was talking about a couple podcasts back. I scrolled down LinkedIn and I saw one within like three posts. And then there was another and then another. And it's not to say every post where somebody's talking is bad on LinkedIn, but they almost never give you any value. They just keep telling you how awesome they are and to give them money and they'll make you awesome.
Right. I'm like, we're not selling some voodoo shit over here, right? You're going to have to give people value.
But what if you have someone that does that regularly, but they're actually giving you actionable advice, something that you can take away? It's not about them. They're more interested in you. You would like that, right?
Yeah, no, I'm completely down with that. I'm not saying all video is bad. We do a lot of video here. I just think you have to be intentional about it and it can't be self-serving, right? It's back to that sales stereotype.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You can't do it on social. You can't do it in person. You can't do it in email. Like, it just doesn't work. It turns people off.
We have a sales guy who he'll do a walk like every day or something like that. And he does a lot of posts of himself talking, video of him while he's walking. And it's about sales, but it's him telling other salespeople what to do and what not to do. He's not talking about himself or what he does or how awesome he is or how much money he can make you or anything. And those kind of things, I say, that's fine. It doesn't matter if it's just your face talking. That's perfectly fine. It's just, again, back to content. It's what's the content. Don't make the content suck. And also, the worst part for me is it's reinforcing this negative salesperson stereotype. Just like there's 50 con men on every LinkedIn page just blabbing away about how awesome they are and trying to steal your money.
Well, there's 1,000 ways to do something wrong. Yeah. Like, what would be some of the guiding points for putting together a plan and putting together great content, not just imparting valuable knowledge, but, you know, what are some guidelines that if people stick to it, they'll do pretty well?
Planning, I would say, first and foremost, as creative people, as marketers typically, hopefully are, creatives aren't necessarily known for living in spreadsheets or being super organized. You know, just kind of, you have an idea, you have inspiration and you want to put it out there immediately. Well, you have to be intentional about it. So thinking about in my industry, we sell to sales organizations. So I think about seasonality when we're talking about topics. So maybe towards the end of the year, you focus on things like closing the year out strong, or you focus on how to do a really great sales kickoff because people are planning those for January. Do things that are relevant to people that you're selling to or you're trying to reach at that time. Yeah. Same with trends too.
Got it.
And you mentioned like being creative versus the planning part. And it makes me think of, you know, the original, maybe not original, but old school content when, you know, you're making radio shows and putting soap commercials on them and then making TV shows and putting commercials on them. Those things are regular. It wasn't the Lone Ranger didn't come out whenever they felt like it or had a good idea for an episode. It's like you have to know it's going to be coming out with the content. So it's not just occasionally you have a good idea, put something out. Especially with today's platforms, you have to be regular or they will ignore you. The platform itself, won't put you in front of people.
Yeah, and it's all too easy now to do things on this ad hoc basis, but it's just, and it's exhausting. You know, if you have a plan, you can get this cross team input and development effort, right? You have everyone in your organization from the CEO to your ground level, you know, SDR should have some input at some point in the content creation process. Not to say that you need to solicit input from 1,000 people at once, but listen to the core business objectives. We have something called OKRs here, which is something that Google does, but it's objective key results. and we have them on a company-wide basis. So we have them for Sales Loft as a whole, and then I have my own OKRs. Everybody has theirs. So I use that if our company is trying to drive home a specific point, like reliability was one last quarter. So we'll use that to inform and solicit content that we produce.
Great. And then can you give some examples of content? I mean, we've been talking about social posting, mm-hmm. but that could just be, you know, a blurb about something having to do with something, a quote, mm-hmm. an image, a meme, writing up a whole article, linking to a white paper. There's just so many things. You can make videos, you can make, you know, images, so many things people can do.
Isn't that part of the plan though, Laura? Like you want to list out all the different content delivery aspects that you want to put into your content marketing every month?
Yeah, for sure. And we operate off of a system, I guess you'd call it, of big rock content. So I might develop something that is like a giant piece of content, like an ebook or a big research paper. And then from that, you just break it down, right? You break it down into blog post. You break it down into like quote images you can use on social media. You break it and do a podcast topic if you have a podcast, or short videos if you want to do the videos on LinkedIn or post them on your website. We do sales tips videos that we actually host on our website. So make that huge effort to create something big, and then the rest will be easy because you're just cutting off pieces of pig or whatever.
Right.
That's brilliant. A lot of repurposing and dinging in the message, you know, hammering in what you're trying to do a bunch of different right. ways so many different types of people get it. That's actually really brilliant.
Well, it reinforces, and you're not continually reinventing the wheel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Even I mentioned a Super Bowl commercial, that's generally consumer stuff, so I'll try to stay away from it. But as the biggest example of a content you could do probably, and even that, you see they don't just show it during the Super Bowl. There's usually a long commercial, and then they'll show five different versions of it for the next 5 years.
Right, right. Budweiser, great example. Yeah. But I think it's also this omni-channel trend. I keep hearing that word now all the time too, but it's this method of distribution because almost, I think I read a stat the other day, it was like 98% of consumers use more than one device over the course of a given day.
Yeah.
So if you're going to reach them, you better be in more than one place, especially with all the noise.
The noise. I like that part of the conversation. One of the big notes, something I want to get into here, I guess we'll do it on this half. This could be the whole second half of the podcast today, but putting your content where they're not when it comes to content delivery. I had a thought on it just before the podcast. You know, you can say that there's the fishing analogy, oh, you don't want to fish where everybody else is. But it occurred to me that it depends on who you are. If you're the big player, then you want to go where the fish are. But if you're the small player, you want to go where other people aren't.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't see the big fishing company saying, oh, we're going to go over here where nobody is. No, they go and dominate where all the fish are.
Right.
I guess it depends on the size of your company, what you're, you know, where you're going to be putting your content out and what type of content you're going to be putting out to try to pick up the scraps from the big guys if you're smaller, or to try to dominate if you're bigger. But when it comes to the delivery of content and everything, most of what we talk about nowadays is social, but feel free to stray off anywhere you want to billboards or you know, paying people to put tattoos on the back of their head or anything.
I tried to get that a tattoo booth at our conference this year, but I got shot down. I don't know why.
That would be awesome. That would be a great booth to have. I mean, obviously permanent tattoo, maybe that would be a big jump, but you could always do a temporary tattoo, do a little henna tattoo for people or something like that.
I don't know. It's a sales conference. So, you know, if you get a bunch of salespeople in a room and fuel them with alcohol, tattoos happen.
That's an awesome point. A free tattoo. A lot. Every sales guy on my team would take you up on that.
Right. Bring him over. The
They'd be like, "Wow, they did a whole dragon on my back with a koi fish." You know, kind of like, "That's weird. It just says salesloft.com."
We have a pretty cool logo, you know. I'd be down.
Once it's there, it's there. Make sure they sign a disclaimer.
Right. It's really interesting though that you bring up billboards, because right outside of our office, actually, as you have a perfect view of it from our CEO's office, and he just posted a video of it this morning. There's a billboard for Sales Loft that says proudly Atlanta's number one best place to work, because our local newspaper, AJC, voted us number one, I think, mid-sized company to work at last year.
So Did you guys buy your own billboard in front of your office?
Hell yeah,
calling yourselves number one just to make your employees happy?
We didn't call us number one. We were voted number one. So we didn't make it up, but yes, we bought the billboard right outside of our office.
That would be an awesome strategy if you have some morale issues in your company, is to buy the billboard in front of your office and say, everybody's so happy here.
I mean,
it could also backfire, but
that, yeah, it might be a little, I think people would deface it if it wasn't true, yeah. But
you don't want your motivational poster to be seen as a joke.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like what's old is new again, right? I mean, when was the last time you got something cool in the mail? What if some marketer sent you like a branded Mophie, like one of those portable cell phone chargers?
Cold calling and physical mail are having a massive comeback because that's where people aren't. Yeah. Even the big players say they still want to go where people aren't.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like fashion concepts come back around. So do sales concepts and marketing concepts. Yeah. So I think that's a big way of breaking through it. I mean, think about all the LinkedIn videos you see. How many of those can you actually call out and remember at the end of the day?
Yeah. I'm dying to get a billboard someday.
Do it. Yeah. I heard you have the number one best place to work. So,
yeah, if you market the shit out of it, they will come. It's going to be our billboard. It'll just be a picture of a cornfield, maybe Kevin Costner.
Hashtag marketing shit.
It's like Kevin was full of shit. If you build it, nobody shows up. You got to market the shit out of it. That's the part of that movie. They cut out the scene where he actually gets a plane and flies over the whole state, dropping leaflets to everybody saying, come to this magical baseball game. They left that out. That's why it's so confusing when you're saying, why are all these people driving there? It's so weird. It doesn't make any sense. How do they even know about it? They cut that.
Right, yeah. Right.
You have to market the shit out of it.
Yeah, high-tech crop dusting.
Yep.
Anyway, but yeah, things like that. Talking about noise too, I mean, people bring it back to sales again, but marketing is so much like sales. I mean, when you buy something, you generally go off of a recommendation and you're always asking. As salespeople, we encourage the happy customers to give us referrals. So things like influencer programs, I mean, you see that blown up with B2C, right? You can't go through Instagram without having a sponsored post.
Oh yeah. The Fyre Festival's big right now.
That was hilarious. He's got to repay back all that money too. He just lost.
It's very interesting what's going on with that. Yeah. So even things like influencer, every type of marketing can be exploited. Email marketing is amazing, but then you get all the spam and you get really bad players, and there's still influencer marketing. Okay, that's great. But then you get bad players. Like anything that works, you're going to have bad players there.
Yeah, you have to be selective. I mean, I think one of the things that SalesLoft does really well is live and die by our core values. And we also require that our influencers exhibit those same values because they're an extension of your company. They're an extension of your brand. So you don't want somebody out there, you know, walking around with their tattoos all over the place from your conference. No, I'm just kidding.
If Cardi B came to your conference booth and wanted a tattoo, I think you'd do it.
You know, I would.
But you probably wouldn't seek her out and pay her a fortune.
We actually have Blues Travelers this year, so I'm excited for that.
Oh,
right?
That's awesome.
I would get a harmonica tattoo. I mean, why not?
Right, she already has a whole bunch of like jailhouse tattoos from her roller derby days. Wait, what was your team name?
We had to change it. It was the Sake Tuyas, like Sake. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of this Asian Oriental theme. But I saw last year they changed the name. I can't remember what it changed to now, because I guess it was maybe borderline offensive to that culture. But we didn't mean it like that.
Yeah. I want to take a break. But so we'll get back. It ended up being the world's longest teaser. After the break, we'll get back, talk more about content delivery and kind of where and how to deliver this stuff for people, different techniques, different places, all that kind of good stuff. So Laura, take a minute to think about that. We'll go on break here and get back to that afterward. You're listening to the If You Market podcast. I'm Sky Cassidy. We've got our co-host Carla Jo Helms with us. And Laura Hall of SalesLoft is here talking about marketing communications. Wow, I botched that. You're not talking about marketing communications. That's your title. You're talking about content delivery and content marketing. Fantastic. All right, off to the break. We'll be back in just a minute.
Hi, this is Daniel Voss from GoToWebinar. I'm the chief webinar wrangler here at GoToWebinar, where we're the largest webinar platform in the world with more than 50,000 customers and 60 million people attending webinars on the platform every year. If you want to come check out GoToWebinar, go to gotowebinar.com and take out one of our free trials and give the product a spin.
Welcome back from the break. I'm Sky Cassidy. You're listening to the If You Market podcast. Our co-host Carla Jo Helms is here.
Hello.
Along with Laura Hall of SalesLoft, we are talking about content delivery. So content delivery, Laura, let's jump right back into it. During the break, you started mentioning not being everywhere with content marketing. I think we brought up Reddit and how you guys don't do anything on Reddit. Can you speak to the don't be everywhere a bit here?
Sure. You know, I am an avid Reddit lurker, I guess. I don't really participate, but I love it. But you have to make choices about where you're going to be, because if you try to be on every single social media platform and deliver content in every way imaginable, you're just going to, you know, never sleep again. And it's not worth it. It just, it ends up being noisy. You can't do any one thing that well. So choose.
And you're not going to be everything to everyone. That's part of your strategy, right? Finding out where you really need to be seen by who you need to be seen by.
Right, right. And find out where your people are and go there. You know, I don't think if we started using Pinterest heavily, that would be really a productive use of time for us. But LinkedIn, yeah, every salesperson and their brother is on LinkedIn. So be strategic about where you go and where you spend your time.
Yeah, and I guess Reddit had come up. I see people using platforms like that for things they're not intended for. Mm-hmm. Like Reddit is not a content distribution platform, as far as I know. I'm not big into Reddit, but one of the areas that I see regularly, and I'll post stuff sometimes, is Quora. And I see so many people spamming Quora with questions that are designed really for their own marketing, for their own lead generation. And I look at them, I can tell this isn't a real question. This is BS. You're either self-promoting your product or you're kind of digging for intent data or something like that, but it's not what the platform's used for. They start getting abused, I guess, as content distribution, lead generation kind of techniques. Again, there's bad players and they figure out how to use these platforms for their purpose, and sometimes they ruin them.
Oh, that's so true. I mean, look at Facebook. The same things that happen in B2C happen in B2B just a little bit lagging, right?
It's true.
Now, you remember the LinkedIn groups, and those were supposed to be just great communities, and they turned into just spam, complete spam. It's just,
it's all salespeople joining to sell their stuff to the other salespeople that are there to sell their stuff.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I really go on LinkedIn for good. I go on there for good content. I go on there to learn. And I typically just tune the other stuff out. You know, I haven't really noticed it getting a lot of glutton.
Well, LinkedIn's awesome. They do a great job of monitoring their regular traffic, but the groups are just the world's worst networking event.
Yeah. I love the platform itself. I mean,
that's true.
But talk about distribution and evolution too. LinkedIn recently launched Elevate, which I don't work for LinkedIn. I just think this is really cool.
Is it their video platform?
That's completely separate. That's like their live feed they're trying to start up. But Elevate is basically something that helps people within your organization, or you can give a license to an influencer or something, helps them source and share content. So you can source it through different feeds. Like you talk about using LinkedIn for actually learning things. I have a feed for marketing and advertising. And I can go through here and see the top post. And then it makes it easy for me to schedule and share it. It's called broadcasting. And then you can have a company feed too. So our social media guy, David, goes through and posts like every new blog post that goes up or a mention somewhere or, you know, anything relevant we'd want to share on our page. He'll put it in there. Our coworkers can all see it. They can reshare it. And that's the most powerful distribution there is, right? Volume.
Yeah. So it helps you aggregate stuff and basically so you can add it to a schedule. So it isn't, you're not saying every time I want to go and share something, let me go look people up who I like their content, find whatever's in my feed, and then share something I find there. You can kind of preload all this stuff into a feed of things that you know you want to share at some point.
Yeah.
Is that
the
general
idea? Yeah, and
you
can schedule it out for a week. I mean, it's something that social media marketers have been doing for a long time, right? Scheduling, you have these like Hootsuite and TweetDeck and all these things. This makes it possible for you to do that within organizations and to follow specific people.
I'm embarrassed. I'm usually on top of LinkedIn. I'm not familiar with this function. Is this part of premium accounts? Is it for everybody?
Where's this hidden? I have no idea how much it costs, but I'm sure it's not cheap. And it's something that your organization would invest in, but it's fairly new. I feel like they might have rolled it out like 4 or 5 months ago, maybe. It's brand new, but it's really cool. And it makes it easy for people to share.
Awesome. So just one more content delivery mechanism, basically.
Right. And, you know, managing your time and not being all things to all people or all places at once, it makes that possible because you're kind of redistributing some of that work to your employee base.
Yeah, nice. And I know we've had issues with that here. We create content, put it on social media. We encourage our people to, hey, make sure you go like this, share it.
Right.
You know, if we post something and we don't see our own employees have liked it, it's kind of frustrating.
Right.
You know, they haven't shared it. It's like, you have an account. I see you writing your own posts. Why not grab the companies and share them a little too? This makes that all that easier.
Oh, yeah. And it saves your inbox because we used to just wait. We try not to abuse that, right? And we'd wait and send it, you know, all out to like sales loft whenever. I probably should not have just said the email address to email all of sales loft on the air. Please edit that out. Do not email sales loft. Wow.
I think any company, you could just write sales team at marketing at, and you would get through to the people.
But this way we don't have to do that anymore. People can just go into Elevate and do it. You don't need that additional email.
I'll make sure we beep that out. So everybody listening, all the listeners will just hear beep at sales loft. It does not say it doesn't say that.
Now you just said it again.
Oh, there's gonna be a lot of beeps in it.
I promise I wasn't saying the F word.
We'll leave in. Wow, that's F word at sales loft. That's right.
That should be a thing.
That's
wow.
Great.
I'm gonna get fired after doing this podcast.
It's funny. We can swear on this podcast. I still feel the urge to say F word. It would be dropping an F bomb there. Doesn't seem right. So distribution methods. That's one more kind of distribution method. It's an augmenting how you distribute on LinkedIn. Can you give us your top distribution channels? You have the content, you just need to get it out there. What do you do?
Yeah. LinkedIn, we've already talked about that. That is a huge channel for us. It's where a lot of our focus is as far as social is concerned. We use our blog. We put out a ton of content, but we have recently launched an influencer program. And so our influencers are a really important source of distribution. They're channels and we value them very, very greatly. But it's kind of like all ships rise together, right? If you can co-promote each other, it helps, right? You will only reach the people that are following you on social media. But if you have an influencer that shares it on his or her account, then you reach all of their following too. So that's really, I find, the best way to grow your following. The last thing, I'm like going in threes, I guess, the newsletter. That's truly the only list you own, right? Facebook, LinkedIn, they could all disappear tomorrow, but you will always have this list of email addresses. So I think while maybe it's considered a little old school these days or overdone, it is still very, very important because you own it.
Yep. And on influencers, that's a great, I don't want to dig into that. We actually have a past episode. Episode 19 is on building influencer relationships. So anybody who wants to dig into influencers, that's its own subject. Go back and listen to episode 19 with Jackson Kahn on that. It's a great, great episode. So you've got LinkedIn influencers also. If you're listening to this podcast, we think you're probably into B2B marketing. If you're not on LinkedIn when we mention it every episode almost as the number one place to be, then just stop listening right now. Go sign up for an account. Get yourself going on LinkedIn and then come back.
And yeah, and what was the episode where we had our LinkedIn expert talk about best practices? Do you remember? I can't remember her name.
Yes, we did have that. I think that was episode 32. With Rachel Simon.
Yes,
you can find that
right
on ifyoumarket.com. And yeah, she's talking about developing LinkedIn thought leadership there.
Yeah, she had great tips and advice on that. Definitely listen to that one too.
So we're turning this episode just into a throwback to what you can learn from other episodes episode. But yeah, talk about content. Yeah. You got to be on LinkedIn. Influencers seems to be, as you mentioned, with on the consumer side, it's big, but B2B, people think so much about consumer. They don't realize the things that are big in consumer, it's kind of behind the scenes. You know, you're not seeing it in your TV commercials and stuff, so you don't realize it's there. But influencers are huge in in B2B. So you've got LinkedIn, you've got influencers. What other channels do you like?
I mentioned the newsletter too. That's just, it's massive. Getting people to sign up for your newsletter, owning that list, not abusing it, right? And sending things out on a regular cadence as well. If people want to know, like, I know when my marketing prof's newsletter is going to hit my inbox and I'm excited for it. I am an Anne Hanley fangirl. So I look forward to her biweekly newsletter that comes out on Sundays, which I think is brilliant because that's when people are checking their inboxes, right? Getting caught up for the week. And so the open rates are generally better on Sundays.
Yeah. I would say make sure you sign up with one email only because I get like five a day from them from five different email addresses.
I've made that mistake before. I was not happy.
And you think, why are they sending me? So, and then you realize, oh no, it's my fault.
Mm-hmm. I did this to myself.
So yeah, newsletters are huge. Mm-hmm. It's a top of the funnel marketing area. You're not selling people in your newsletter. You're, you know, giving out information, content, on the top of the funnel marketing side.
And make it entertaining, right? Make your newsletter entertaining.
What's the same with any content?
If you're interested in PR, check out the JoTo PR newsletter. Carla Jo puts out a great newsletter every, I want to say day almost, Carla Jo?
Well, you know, we do a newsletter every month. We found out that just based on human behavior, people love to read about PR fails. Sometimes you learn about seeing what people failed at. So we did Fire a long time ago before it came out with its documentary. We were on it when it first came out. So we have a monthly newsletter of that, and it goes into PR fails, PR wins, PR in history. But then we do snippets because we've been doing these newsletters for so long. So you get a little daily snippet of things that are pretty timeless about things that happened in the PR world, brand mess ups, brand highlights, things like that. People love them.
Oh, it's amazing. I love that you say snippets too. It made me realize that I didn't mention something that I should have because it's kind of core product feature. We have snippets and templates that our salespeople use to distribute messaging.
Ooh, like, what do you mean by that?
So like if we have an ebook, we recently had an ebook come out about personalization and we use that as big rock content and created all sorts of types of content off of that, videos, blog posts, infographics, whatever. So we can create templates and put them into a cadence for salespeople. And so the messaging and the links are already there and it makes it super easy for them to share content. Maybe that's like a theme, right? LinkedIn Elevate, creating cadences and snippets and templates. Just make it easy for people to share your content and they will as long as the content is, you know, worth sharing.
Wow. You know, that's really neat because salespeople really do love to share content, share data, things like that. And sometimes marketing and branding departments can cringe because they may not do it right.
Right.
Our last guest, the very last episode on the If You're Market podcast, mentioned a tool called Text Expander that inserts snippets in so you don't have to copy and paste even. I think you just type the little code for whatever the snippet is and whatnot. And I found that really interesting. I haven't tried that out. I'll have to check it out. But okay, inserting snippets in. Back to the newsletter thing, I believe it's Katie Martell has a great newsletter on marketing. I love her format. She puts kind of bullet points at the top. So she says, here's the subjects for this. The way I read things, if I see one big paragraph of text, I get intimidated and I leave. So I love that she may cover five subjects, but she'll say, here's the five subjects right at the top.
We actually do that too, bullet it out with the links to whatever piece of content we're trying to send people to. So, you know, too long, didn't read, just click here.
Yeah. Yep. And, or, you know, hey, maybe one of these five things interests you, but if I just put them in order, you're not going to get to the fifth one, which is actually what you really want to dig into.
That's very important. If you call out one specifically too, like around Halloween, we did a Halloween infographic, the seven deadly sins of selling. And I put it third in the newsletter, but in the intro, I gave it a shout out, right? So this is truly a cool infographic and it's funny. And that was the most clicked thing in that newsletter. So if you really want to highlight something, give it a shout.
If it's not already in there, one of the deadly sins of selling I'd like to throw out is misunderstanding the term always be closing. People grab on to these little catchphrases and then they start taking them literally and they take them the way to mean what they think they mean without really understanding what it means. And then everything goes to hell.
A little bit of knowledge is dangerous, right?
So true.
Yeah. Always be closing. Great. Just call people up and say, hey, can I have, ask for the sale. Can I have the credit card? No, that's not how
it's interesting too. People people find something and they take it to the extreme. It's like wasting time. Like, you're supposed to warm people up and make them like you, but people also don't have half an hour to spend on small talk either. So, you know, be nice, exchange pleasantries, but then get to the point, right?
Oh, I hear when I hear our guys on the floor, I'll stop and correct them. I hear them jumping on a call and they start, "Hey, yeah, you know, I see that you live in Pittsburgh. How about those Steelers or something?" Like, this guy knows you're not his friend. Stop trying to be his friend. You're wasting his time.
Right.
You're patronizing him. He's going to, if he's important and willing to, able to do something for you, he's going to get offended and hang up that you're trying to act like you guys are going to be buddies now. You're not going to be buddies. Do your job and tell him what you can provide him that'll make his life easier or something like that. Okay. Yeah, it's frustrating when salespeople they misuse these techniques. Be friendly, that's fine, but don't pretend like, you know, you're going to buddy up with this guy because you read his LinkedIn.
Yeah, exactly. I know, right? I hate to do this, but I have to run.
She's a hard stop. I feel it coming.
You've got a hard out. Yep. Okay. Well, let's exit real quick. I do want to mention SalesLoft has an event coming up, the Rainmaker 2019 Welcome to the Sales Revolution. Did I get that right, Laura?
That is right. Sales Revolution. So kind of a theme of this call too, right? This podcast is, we're redefining how sales is done. It's not Glengarry anymore.
Fantastic. And we'll get off really quick here for you, but everything from the show will be on the show notes. We'll have more information from that there. You can find Laura Hall on LinkedIn. Again, if you're not already there, go there now and find Laura Hall and follow her. And please share the If You Market podcast on your social media. Tell your friends, give us good reviews on iTunes, take their phones, subscribe them, give us good reviews, iTunes. And on behalf of Carla Jo Helms and the If You Market team and Laura Hall of SalesLoft, thank you for listening to the If You Market podcast, where we believe if you market the shit out of it with content marketing, they will come. Thanks, Laura.
Thanks, guys.
Talk to you later.
Thank you.